Thank you. And I think this is the fourth or fifth time I've actually been with you. Maybe the second time in this facility. We are glad to be here. I am really worried about falling off this platform. Has that ever happened? Well, that's the wrong answer. The answer is not yet. So if I fall, he'll catch me. You need to know, Pastor Pamela, that we believe in you. And there's that Hillsong song. It's, you got a friend in me. Is that Hillsong? Toy Story? Oh, well, wherever it came from. And you need to know that we will do whatever we can to help you. And we're cheering you on and believing for great things for your life. Now, City View. That's the right name, isn't it?
Yes.
What sort of church do you want it to be? It needs to be a Jesus church. It needs to be a family church, a singles church. It needs to be a church for all people, where everyone is welcome. It needs to be a praising church. But what sort of church should it be? And what I want to share with you today might inspire you to think, well, City View, what should it be? Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. They follow the same storyline, but they present Jesus in a slightly different way. Matthew presents Jesus as the king, but not just the king of the Jews. Jesus is the king of all kings. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. Now, that's a strange thing that a king could also be a servant, but that is the Jesus that we believe in. He's the servant king. Luke wrote for the world and presents Jesus as the man, but not just any man, a man like no other. There are 11 miracles that you can find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And because they are repeated, I think they must be important. So here is one of those incidents that I think is significant in the ministry of Jesus. And I'm going to be reading it primarily from the Gospel of Luke, although I may refer also to Mark. Now, fasten your seatbelts, get ready, because Jesus is in church and anything is possible. There is a life jacket under your seat, and if we lose compression, oxygen will come down from the ceiling. This is the Gospel of Luke and chapter 6, and this is what it says. On another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue. Let me contemporize that. On another Sunday, Jesus went to church. Now, it's quite interesting because Jesus had meetings in the countryside and he often visited people's homes and held meetings. But this is the Sabbath and he goes to the synagogue. That is a good choice. It's a good decision and it's a good habit to establish. It's a good pattern for your family. It's Sunday. Let's go to church. Yes. On another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand, everybody say right hand, was shriveled. Isn't that a wonderful English word? Shriveled. Only Dr. Luke tells us that it was his right hand, which of course is significant because the right hand speaks of power and authority. But this man was disabled. He was disfigured. He was disadvantaged. He was deformed. It must have looked quite unsightly. It must have filled the man with shame. And it certainly limited his ability to earn money, to have an income, to provide for his family. I think it would have been embarrassing for him. Probably, you know, maybe he would have tried to hide his hand away because he is a broken man with a broken hand. Now, even though this incident is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we are never introduced to him by name. He's always the man with the shriveled hand. His problem defined him. The next verse says that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, and so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath day. Now, there are problems when you go to church. The first problem is that you find broken people in church. Maybe not people with broken hands, but people with broken hearts and broken lives. And sometimes it can be embarrassing when broken people come to church. But the church offers help for the broken, and we offer comfort for the despairing. And through God, we can bring hope for the hopeless. And I pray that City View will be a church of hope for this community, that you can bring hope and strength for the weak, because brokenness is an opportunity for the grace and power of God to be seen. The second problem about going to church is that there can be difficult, awkward people there. Now, just nudge the person next to you and say, he's not talking about you. The core of the problem, the core of their problem, is that they usually have their own agenda. And in this incident, difficult people are looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Will he heal on the Sabbath day? We have to defend our synagogue. We have to protect our Sabbath. And it says that they watched him closely. They didn't take their eyes off him, like a hunter following their prey, watching for the moment of weakness. Now, let me encourage you. Don't stop coming to church because of broken people, because we actually might witness a miracle and we can be part of the answer that God can bring into their lives. And don't stop coming to church because you might find somebody in the congregation who's difficult or awkward, because there are difficult, awkward people everywhere. Oh, Jesus, you should have stayed home today. You should have been out in the countryside. You would have been safer in somebody's home. It's one of your friends. Look out, Jesus, you are walking into a trap. But then he says, but Jesus knew what they were thinking. You got to get early. You got to get up early to trap Jesus. He says to the man with the shriveled hand, now, what did he say to him? What's the first thing he said? I can't hear you. Get up. Now, stand in front of everyone. I want you to get up from where you are. I want you to step forward. I want you to be right front and central so everyone can see you. Do you know that on several occasions, Jesus performed miracles in private? In the home of Jairus, when the little girl had died, there was a house full of people, and Jesus said, okay, everybody out, except mom and dad, and Peter, James, and John, Jesus himself, and the little girl. He didn't want to make a public show of what was happening. On another occasion, when he went into a village where there was a man who was blind, Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of the village. That particular village was hard in their hearts toward Jesus. And he says, hey, this is the wrong place. You need to come with me. And he took him out into the countryside. But on this occasion, it is a very public miracle. He's saying, can everybody see? I want everybody to witness this. I've got nothing to hide. Nothing is secret. This is not going to be a magic trick. There's no secret ceremony. I'm not going to mutter a magic formula. I want you to stand up. I want you to step forward so everyone can see you. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? But they remained silent. Now, here is the reason for the miracle. What is more important, religious rules or helping broken people? What is greater, man's law about the Sabbath or the Lord of the Sabbath? What is more important, celebrating a holy day with a broken man or celebrating a man who was broken who is now whole. And that's the problem with these difficult people. For them, the Sabbath was more important than the man. Their religious rules were more important than his need. Quite interesting that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law added to the law hundreds and hundreds of rules. By the way, do you like my shoes? Skechers. I got them on special. And no tax, no nails in this. Because they actually had rules about shoes. If you had more than 7 tacks in your shoe, you were considered to be carrying a weight on the Sabbath day, which is why I wear Skechers. They're light and comfortable. And can you imagine a religious system that is so strong that they would even count the number of tacks in your shoe? We've got to protect the Sabbath. And this miracle, this incident, tells us the fact that grace is greater than law, that doing good is greater than evil, that saving life is more important than destroying life, that life is greater than death, that the new covenant is greater than the old. In the Old Testament, there is a famous mountain called Sinai. In the New Testament, there is a greater mountain. It's not as tall, not as high, but it's called Mount Calvary. At Sinai, the law was given. At Calvary, grace was given. At Sinai, there was judgment. But at Calvary, there was grace, greater than our sin. And Jesus said, hey, what's more important, broken people and broken laws, or whole laws and broken people? And Jesus spoke, and the critics couldn't answer. Then it says that Jesus looked around them with anger. Stubborn hearts, calloused hearts, hard hearts. People who were unafraid to show, they were unable to show emotion, unable to express compassion. In Australia, one of the greatest killers is something called arteriosclerosis, the hardening of the arteries. But there is something worse than the hardening of the arteries, and that is the hardening of the attitudes. It is deadly. In fact, I created a word. It is called attitudinal sclerosis. You won't find it in the medical books, but let me tell you something. It is real and it's powerful, and it needs to be removed from our lives. Then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. Remember, he first of all said, I want you to stand up. Now I want you to step forward. And now I want you to stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Here is a good reason why you should go to church. Jesus might just show up. We might see broken people being made whole, and we can partner in a miracle. I pray that City View Church will be a church of miracles. And how do we release that? We ensure that there are no hard hearts within us. We make sure that we're not stubborn or calloused, but we are open to what God can do. Well, the next verse says, that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were absolutely delighted with what Jesus had done. What does it say? They were furious. It means to burn with anger. They were so filled with anger that they became incapable of rational thinking. Verse 12 says that they went out. That's a poor description. They actually rushed out. They couldn't stay there any longer. The words of Jesus had silenced them, and now the power of Jesus had amazed them, and they bolted out of the building. Then it says, the Pharisees also went out and began to plot with the Herodians. These were two political groups, one that represented the traditional... They would be the right wing, the traditional views of Israel. The Herodians stood for Herod and Rome's rule, and it was sort of the left wing. And here are two extremes coming together so that they might kill Jesus. That's also a weak word. It means to destroy. And it's the same word in John 10:10, when the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have abundant life. So Jesus restored the man's health. And you would expect that he would then get a job, which means that not only did he restore his health, but he restored his wealth. Because now the man can find employment, he could get an income and a better standard of living. And Jesus restored his dignity. No longer is he filled with shame. No longer is there self-loathing. The man with the shriveled hand is now the miracle man, as his self-esteem is restored. Let me talk to you just for a moment about the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus is greater than your history. This man's hand was shriveled, withered, dried up. It was not a recent illness or injury. It was a long-term condition, maybe from birth. But the power of Jesus is greater than our yesterdays. The power of Jesus is greater than our history. And God can reverse the curse of yesterday. And the power of Jesus is greater than present difficulties. This man's condition was a present reality. You can't hide your shriveled hand. You can't deny the difficulty you face. But the power of God is greater than anything you face today. And the power of God is greater than criticism, because some people are so encouraging. We shouldn't let that man in here. He's an embarrassment. That hand, we don't want to see it. We want him on the back row. In fact, we'd rather if he sat outside on the tables and chairs, because he's embarrassing us. Because the critics would say he's being punished for something that he's done. God is judging him. It's a result of sin. We shouldn't let him in here. And when Jesus restores the man, the same critics who would have criticized the man now criticize Jesus. There's not one word of congratulation. There is not one word of praise to God. There is no celebration for the man's recovery. But the power of God is greater than criticism. Yes. And the power of God is greater than a hopeless cause. This man's hand was shriveled. It was lifeless. The tendons were taut. The muscles had died. The nerves were damaged. The bones were fragile. The blood flow was restricted. His skin was like parchment. It was hopeless. But what is hopeless with man is possible with God. Because the power of Jesus is greater than history and present difficulty and criticism. And it's greater than hopelessness. And I pray that this will be a place of hope for the hopeless in this community. I pray that this will be a place of forgiveness for those that live with guilt and shame. Jesus spoke the word of God, and then he reflected the love of God, and then he demonstrated the power of God. That's the Jesus we believe in. Now, Jesus told the man to do three things, and you could call these three keys to wholeness. You could call it three keys to a great church. Three truths to breakthrough. Three ways how you and I can partner with others to bring breakthrough into people's lives. Do you remember the three things that Jesus said to the man? The first thing he said was, stand up, get up. The second thing he said was, come forward. Stand up now, step out. And the final thing he said was, stretch out your hand. And these three things are connected, because you can't step forward if you haven't stood up. And once you have stepped forward, what are you going to do? You've got to stretch out. Now, stand up. That's pretty simple. Step forward. That's a little embarrassing, because I've been sitting on the back row so long, I've been hiding away my problem. It's embarrassing. But Jesus, when you say stretch out, well, that's impossible. If we want to help broken people, if City View Church will be a place of healing for the broken, then we have to encourage people. We have to encourage them to move from the safe to the risky. We have to encourage them to step forward from what might be, you know, anonymity to people being aware of who they are. If we're going to grow our faith, we might have to stand up. We might have to step forward, and we might have to stretch out. God always lifts you. Oh, I'm going to preach to you if you're okay. So, God always lifts you. He will never knock you down. He will always build you up. God lifted Joseph from the prison to the palace. He lifted Moses from the backside of the desert to the courts of Pharaoh. He lifted Gideon from hiding behind the press to becoming a judge. God lifted little Zacchaeus from being a tax-collecting traitor to a generous follower of Jesus, because God will always lift you. Coming back to Perth evokes all sorts of memories. All our children were born here in WA. Joanne was born at St. John of God, Subiaco. And then the twin boys were born in Osborne Park. I did say twins, yes, that's two. It was a wonderful day. It was the 9th of December, 77. And the previous nine children in our combined families had all been girls. And then at about 25 past nine, the doctor said, "Mr. Griffiths, you have a son." And you know what I said? "I've done something my brother hasn't done." Hey, by the way, he's sitting over there. You didn't welcome Stephen and Jackie. You didn't see them. I know, it's that shirt. He's wore it to look hide. Twin boys. The good thing about your kid's childhood, I enjoyed their childhood more than I enjoyed my own, because I had money to buy whatever I wanted for them. And everybody who bought them gifts, it was always double. And we got all these building blocks. They came in buckets, they came in boxes, there was Lego and Duplo. And my ambition was to build a tower that would go from the floor to the ceiling. Anybody say, I know what you're talking about, Jeremy. I've done that as well. And so, you know, I'd be maybe up to my shoulder level, and the boys would come into the room. What do? They knock it down. We were at your grandchild's first birthday, and she'd got some building blocks, and I saw this lady build about 10 in a row, and Bella immediately came and knocked them down. Because there is something in the human heart that says it's easier to knock down than to build. But the church is a community of hope, and we are not here to knock down. We are here to build. What can take years to build can be destroyed in days. What has taken a lifetime to build can be broken by a poor decision, unkind words, foolish actions. But we here at City View choose to speak words of life. We choose to encourage and never condemn. We choose to offer a helping hand. You may be down, but you're not out, because God will always lift you. Hey, stand up. There are broken people in this community who haven't stood for years, but we have the message of the gospel that can lift them. But once we're standing, we need to move, because movement is a sign of life. We live in Adelaide. We have a beautiful oval. It's still standing. And outside the main gates is Don Bradman. Well, a statue of Don Bradman. If you don't know who Don Bradman was, he played on the wing for the West Coast Eagles. He's a famous cricketer. What was his average? Come on, tell us what his average was. Test 99.96. There we go. Man after my own heart. And the statue is of Don Bradman in his classic cover drive. He never moves. I think to myself, his back must be aching. His arms must be stiff. The statue can be such a likeness, but if it isn't moving, it's just a statue. And the truth is this, there are many church statues in Perth, but God is calling this church not only to encourage people to stand, but encourage people to move from the back to the front, from the background to the foreground, from being comfortable to what might be confronting, because the purposes of God always advance. The kingdom of God is always expanding, and our experience with God is never ending. Therefore, we always need to be learning. We always need to be growing. We always need to be moving forward. In Genesis 15, God appears to Abraham. Here is a profound truth. Before Genesis 15 is Genesis 14. And in Genesis 14, there has been a battle. Kings have invaded the land, captured Lot, and Abraham is now left. He's thinking, Lot is my only blood relative. I need to get him back. And you remember the story how he took 318 servants trained in his own house. Well, you could preach on that, couldn't you? How your best workers will be those that you train. And so Abraham goes and by God's help defeats the enemy and recovers what was lost. That's what God does. But Abraham, in the aftermath of the battle, begins to think to himself, I could have died. I could have been killed in that conflict. Lot could have been killed. And I still don't have an heir. And while he's thinking about this, God appears to him in his tent. Everybody say, in his tent. And God says, Abraham, I am your shield. I've got your back, Abraham. Don't have to worry about your enemies. I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. Not only have I got your back, but I'm also your bank. Whatever challenge you face, Pamela, let me tell you that he's got your back and he's also guarantees your bank. Abraham responds with a wonderful word of faith. Where are the kids? You promised me a son. You know, here I am. You know, I've become a stranger in a strange land. I've now made myself a target. And this is what God says to him. Step outside the tent, Abraham. You've been living inside the tent too long. You know, in a tent, you can't look up. You can really only look down. And you can see the sand and the memory. You know, you're going to have more kids than... Sometimes the devil can even use the prophetic words that God has given you to mock you. Come on, Abraham, where are those kids? And God says, you need to step outside the tent. And when you step outside the tent, stop looking down. Now you can look up, because not only are you going to have more kids than the numbers of grains of sand, but you're going to have more sons and more descendants than the stars in the heavens. Abraham, your tent has defined you. You've been looking down too long. You need to look up. Move forward. The man with the shriveled hand, your condition has restricted you, limited you, defined you. You're a nameless man known only by your problem. It's time to move and to move forward. Because if you always sit where you've always sat, you'll never get what you could have got. I really sad that I can't make that rhyme. If you always sit where you always sat, you could never get what you could have got. Stand up. Because if City View is to be a community of hope, you've got to build other people, lift people. And if you're going to be a church that is helping the community and encouraging others, not only do you stand up, but you need to step forward. The first two things that Jesus told the man to do were within the ability of the man to do. Stand up. Yeah, he can do that. He doesn't have nothing wrong with his legs. He can stand. And when he says, come forward, well, that will be embarrassing, but nevertheless, he's able to do it. But Jesus says, now you need to move from the possible to the impossible. You need to move from thinking, I can never do this, to start achieving the unthinkable. Stand up, step forward. Now you need to stretch out. I want to take you further than you've ever been before. Stand up and step forward are natural responses. But stretching out what you've never stretched out, that's supernatural. That's the God factor. But when we do what we can do, God will do what only God can do. Hey, little boy, put your 5 loaves and 2 fish into his hands and he will do the rest. Hey, lady, press through the crowd and reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And as you reach out, God will do the rest. Throw away your beggar's coat, Bartimaeus. And when you do that, God will do the rest. Take those 5 stones, David. Fit one of them into your sling and God will do the rest. Hold that rod over the Red Sea, Moses. And as you do it, God will do the rest. Launch out into the deep, Peter, and let down your nets and God will do the rest. And now, sir, you've stood up, you've stepped forward. Now I'm saying stretch out your hand and God will do the rest. The same word about stretching out is used for when a ship lowers its anchor. You know, in a storm or in a difficult time, put your anchor down, find some solid ground where you can anchor your hope to. And Jesus is saying, sir, why don't you anchor your hope to the power of God? You've heard my word. Now anchor your faith to that word and God will do the rest. So, church, stand up. Church, step forward. Church, stretch out. So the idea of Christmas carols, it's actually standing up and it's stepping forward and it's stretching out. And it can be a bit embarrassing and it can sort of be threatening. But you don't see miracles if you're sitting still. You don't see miracles if you're never going to move forward. And if you don't stretch out, there will be no miracle. So now I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you personally. And then I think we should pray collectively for the church. Are you willing to do that? Yes. So I want you to put your hand. Oh, I think the first thing we should do is we should actually stand up. Yes. So I'm standing. I've been down too long. Now I'm standing. I've been at the back too long. Now I'm standing. I've been down to put your hand over your heart. Lord, I've been stationary too long. Today I'm stepping outside of my tent. Today my past will define me no longer. Today I am moving forward in God. Why don't you sort of, you know, lift up one of your legs and sort of, today I'm moving forward. I've been stuck here too long. Today I'm going further than what I've been before. I'm standing up, Lord, and I'm moving forward. And now I'm reaching out my hands to you. I'm stretching out to you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Make me whole. In fact, why don't you say those words? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help my family. Help my home. Help my business. Help my situation. Help my emotions. Help me, Jesus. And he says, stretch out your hands to him. And so, Lord, as we stretch out to you today, we are calling on your name. Jesus, save us. Jesus, help us. Jesus, meet our needs. In your mighty name, we pray this. Again, put your hand over your heart. Lord, I pray that there will be a wave of healing across this room even now. Let healing flow, touching every life, asthmatic conditions. Let them go in the name of Jesus. People that are suffering from migraine, let the healing power of Jesus touch that person now. In your name, we pray this. Lord, we're stretching out to you. We're hearing your word about stepping out and stepping forward. And we're stretching out our hands to you. For that frozen shoulder, you are released. For that painful knee, you are healed now in the name of Jesus. For that diabetic condition, you are healed now in the name. From this moment, this time, 11:20, Lord, on this Sunday morning, we call out to you. Lord, we're stretching out to you. We've heard your word, Lord. Here we are in church. It's Sunday, and you're here, Jesus. And Lord, we're not going to sit where we've always sat. We're going to move forward, and we're going to stretch out for more of what we're believing for. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. So now we're going to pray for City View. What a great church. This is the only church I've ever been in with one of these. They're not bottle tops, are they? They are. I don't want to know anymore. It's really important that we don't clone ourselves by other churches. Oh, have you heard so-and-so's doing this? We should do that. Or haven't you heard that that church is doing this? Oh, no, we should do that. And we clone ourselves on what might be the success of others. What I've observed is this. If you repeat what somebody else is doing without hearing from God, their success is your failure. Did you hear what I said? So congratulations, a unique place. May it be a community of hope that brings hope to people. May it be a place of connection where people are always moving forward. You know, we're not statues stuck for eternity, but we're alive, we're living. And let it be a place of miracles and health and healing for the broken. So now we are going to raise our hands again. I'm sorry to ask you to do that. Lord, we declare that this is your church. It's not Pamela's church. It's not the board's church or the elder's church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It's your church, Lord. You are the foundation and you are the capstone. You're the beginning and the end. You're the Alpha, the Omega. This is all about you, Jesus. It's all about you and it's all for you. And it's our prayer, Lord, that this church will be a community of hope and a community of help and a community of health where broken people can experience God's power to make them whole. And so today, Lord, we choose to build, not to knock down. We choose to encourage, not to criticize. We choose, Lord, to cheer each other on. Lord, to bless and strengthen and encourage. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the prophetic words that have been spoken over years gone by, you will see come to pass. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dissuaded. Don't be distracted. Keep on believing God. And the dreams and the prophetic words will come to pass. I can't, if I get any closer, I'm going to fall down. Lift your hands towards you, would you? Pamela, we bless you in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. We bless your going out, your coming in. We bless your rising up and your sitting down. We bless the works of your hands, the words of your mouth, the path that your feet take. We bless you are blessed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your health that will fill her body. We thank you for your peace that will fill her mind. And we are thanking you that faith will rise up within her. Pamela, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Be a woman. Rise up, you woman of God. Rise up, you woman of faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Thank you very much for having us.